This is 89.1 WEMU, and I'm David Fair, and welcome to a pre-Christmas edition of Issues of the Environment. For those who celebrate, Christmas trees are usually a part of the family celebration. Some prefer the smell of pine and the look of a fresh-cut tree. Others prefer the shape, convenience, and ability to reuse artificial trees. I wondered which option is best for the environment. As it turns out, in trying to make that determination, there's actually a lot to consider. Here to help take us through the pros and the cons of both is Dr. Bert Craig. Dr. Craig is a professor of horticulture and forestry at Michigan State University. He uses a life cycle assessment methodology to develop cradle-to-grave accounting of the inputs and outputs required to produce, use, and then ultimately dispose of Christmas trees. Dr. Craig is, in fact, considered the preeminent Christmas tree and tree farm expert. And thank you so much for the time today. Much appreciated.
Okay, good to be here.
When considering a natural tree, how far back in the life cycle do you go in looking at the impact? Is it the tilling of the land, the planting of the seeds?
Well, it can be all of that. That's usually sort of the cradle-to-grave sort of approach that people use when they do a life cycle assessment. It can even include some of the inputs that go into producing the transplant, for example, that the grower would produce. That plant that would plant at the start of a Christmas tree cycle. So it's really trying to account for all of those inputs and potential impacts all from the time that it's planted in the ground as a, you know, to be a Christmas tree all the way up to the point, and especially including, you know, what happens after people are done with that at the holidays.
What are some of the elements? Do we have to consider how much water we use, what kind of equipment we use? Are we using fertilizers and pesticides, those kinds of things?
Yeah, exactly. And that would be all of the calculations that would go into it would include, for example, equipment time and hours. Obviously, every gallon of gasoline is, you know, producing CO2 and all of that. So that would be accounted for. The amount of truck transport, so for either an artificial tree or a real tree, when people do these life cycle assessments, they're looking at how far, if a tree that's going to a tree lot, okay, from the tree farm to the tree lot, there's some transport. Same thing for an artificial tree. If it's coming from China, which most of them do, then you have the transport, you know, from China to the U.S. and then from there to the big box store where people buy it and take it home.
In sticking with natural trees for just a moment, do we have an idea of how long it takes a Christmas tree to reach maturity, at least for sale size?
Yeah. So typically for here in Michigan, and pretty similar for other places where trees are growing around the country, you can figure about 8 years is a typical rotation. Some may be a little longer, some may be a little shorter, but that's targeting, say, a 7-foot tree, which is kind of typical for most homes. Obviously, some people have a cathedral ceiling might have a, you know, 12-foot tree or something like that, and that's going to take a little bit longer.
Based on your methodology, can you determine the ecological impact of an individual Christmas tree from seed to landfill or wood chopper?
You know, different ways of looking at it. You can look at it from the standpoint of carbon, and that's actually probably about the most straightforward way of looking at things, because we know, for example, you know, from grower records and so forth, we can pretty much estimate how much fuel is used in the production of a crop and so forth. And so that's, you know, probably the easiest part of it. It gets a little harder when you look at, you know, how much pesticides used, because that varies a lot from tree to tree. For example, here in Michigan, we have a wide array of trees produced. Some require very little in the way of pesticide inputs. If a grower is growing something like Fraser fir, pesticide inputs could be pretty minimal. If they're growing something like Douglas fir, those have some kind of endemic or perpetual pest issues that require treatment pretty much every year, in fact, a couple times a year in those cases. So we can look at that. The problem is, and where this big debate, well, I don't know if it's a big debate, but debate comes in, is how do you line these things up? You know, it's a little bit similar to the questions of, is organic better? Well, you know, lots of studies coming out right now that says maybe organic isn't necessarily better. And it's the same kind of thing with this. It's like, who's looking at it and how are they lining things up? So I think you can kind of spin things any way you want to be honest.
Well, does the fact that all the trees absorb and sequester carbon offset its footprint at all?
It does. And again, a lot of it gets down to in the final analysis, what's done with the tree when you know, the holidays are over. If, for example, you toss a tree onto a bonfire at the end of the holidays, then you know all that carbon's right back in the atmosphere, right?
Right.
So it depends a lot on what's done with the tree. If you recycle it, its ground's made into mulch, and then that degrades and becomes part of the soil carbon. You know, that's obviously a better end use. One of the things that actually turns out to be very important and kind of shows you how little the actual input is for each of these is the tipping point often becomes how far the consumer drives to get their tree. That's probably the biggest driver in this whole analysis. If you drive, say, 20 miles each way to get your tree, well, say your car gets 20 miles to the gallon, that's a gallon of gasoline each way or about 20 pounds of CO2 that's gone to the atmosphere. Okay, and so the manufacturer of the artificial tree can use that to say, well, if you would have reused your tree 10 times, you would have saved 200 pounds of carbon, 400 pounds of carbon going to the atmosphere. So a lot of it gets down to whatever the assumptions you're willing to make, and then of course what you're doing with the tree when you're done with the
Issues of the Environment continues on 89.1 WEMU, and we're talking with Dr. Bert Craig. He is a professor of horticulture and forestry at Michigan State University, and we talked a lot about the carbon footprint of natural Christmas trees and its overall environmental impact, and we're going to shift and focus a little bit more on the artificial Christmas trees. Now, Dr. Craig, I have no idea what goes into manufacturing an artificial Christmas tree. Is it more difficult to apply the cradle-to-grave methodology?
It's done, and basically what you're looking at there is they're made primarily of wire, metal, and polyvinyl chloride. And so there are formulas out there people can use to estimate the various impacts of those processes. And so the advantage that people would look at in terms of the artificial tree is how many times to reuse it. And so you can make it look better relative to the real tree the longer you keep it. So if you can say, well, we reuse this tree for 20 years, well, then you look at what are the impacts of 20 years of having a real tree each year, and that can make the artificial tree look progressively better. But it's primarily the manufacture of the polyvinyl chloride that's probably the biggest impact in.
Yeah, you start talking chemicals again. It takes a lot of fossil fuels to actually manufacture it, and then that creates manufacturing waste. So there are a number of components that have to be considered into the entirety of the process. And then again, you mentioned transport. That's a huge issue because most of the artificial trees are made out of the country.
Right. So they're transported from China. Although actually, ocean shipping is pretty efficient, and they're obviously coming over by the thousands. In a given container ship. So it's there, but it's probably the transport within the country that's actually probably a bigger import or a bigger impact on that. The other thing is what we're finding, I think there was just some of this on 60 Minutes, in fact, the other night, is that even though we tell people to recycle their artificial tree when they're done with it, recycling plastic's getting more and more difficult. A lot of places aren't taking it, and it's finding hard. It's getting harder and harder to find places for recycled plastic to go. So it's an ongoing ongoing story as we go through it.
And there's an assumption with recycling that most people are doing it. In fact, the matter is most are not. Disposal of artificial trees, in most cases, it ends up in the landfill. And with those chemical processes used to develop these trees, we're talking about potential leachate and certainly filling space in the landfills with elements that are probably non-biodegradable.
Yeah, that's right. And I think the other thing is people have, this is issues on the environment, and people focus on that environmental impact. I like to think of it, too, in terms of the broader context of sustainability.
Mm-hmm.
And if you look at sustainability in the broader sense, of course, environmentalist impacts are part of that. But we also have to think about social impacts and economic impacts. And when you look at it from that standpoint, real trees, especially in a place like Michigan, where you have growers in nearly every county, you have the opportunity to support local growers, support local communities. And obviously none of that is happening when you're buying an artificial tree.
And that is an important component to consider. But we come to the end of our conversation. And based on all of your studies, all of your wealth of knowledge, and everything that you've looked at over the years and continue to explore, Can you offer a definitive conclusion as to which is best or at least least harmful to the environment, a real tree or an artificial tree?
Well, you can't, because as I said, it really gets down to the kind of assumptions that you're willing to make. And if you look at it from a real tree standpoint, you can minimize the impacts, for example, by picking up your tree on a drive that you would normally make. Remember, we said that if you're driving, 20 miles each way to get your real tree, then obviously you're having a pretty significant impact. On the other hand, if you're picking that tree up on a drive you would have made anyway, you've negated that part of it. So I would say, making sure that you recycle your real tree so it doesn't end up in a landfill, doesn't get combusted and send the carbon back into the atmosphere, then certainly you can make the real tree, greener and probably greener than an artificial tree.
So, and support your local economy at the same
time. Exactly, right. And so that's really the key to it, is making sure that we're making that real tree as green as we can.
Dr. Craig, thank you so much for your time today. I certainly appreciate it, and I hope you have happy holidays.
You too. Thank you very much.
That is Dr. Bert Craig, Professor of Horticulture and Forestry at Michigan State University. I'm David Fair, and you've been listening to Issues of the Environment. It's produced in partnership with the Office of the Washtenaw County Water Resources Commissioner, and it's heard each Wednesday on 89.1 WEMU-FM and WEMU-HD1 Ypsilanti.